on to listen to a little bit tonight. I'm not any longer than a half a day. I'm never any longer than a half a day, but I'm always going to be as long as I need to be. I think that's the way it ought to be. There's a whole lot of bees right there. That sounds like an outline to me. It ought to be free. Amen. But it's good to be with you tonight. I appreciate everybody's presence being here. And I'm going to try to preach what you ought to feel like laid on my heart for tonight. If you're turning your Bibles to the Song of Solomon. Solomon's Song and chapter number 1. Solomon's Song and chapter number 1. I may not be able to do no more and give you a Sunday school lesson. But try to give you what I feel like that God's given me. That's all I can do. No more and no less. What the Holy Ghost has conveyed to my heart is all I can convey to your heart. And I hope that He'll help us tonight. Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. And let's stand together, please, for the reading of His Word. Verse number 1. Now, I'm not so sure that I will not come back Sunday morning and preach again out of verse 1. I may do that on Sunday morning. Verse number 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Let him kiss me with the kisses of thy mouth, of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now may the Lord add His blessing to His Word tonight. Let's go to the Lord in just a moment of prayer, and we'll try to get right into the message this evening without delay. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful tonight for the glorious opportunity that we have to be in God's house. That's a privilege that is denied to many. But I'm thankful that we're able to be here, physically speaking, and spiritually likewise. I'm thankful tonight for the Word of God and this portion of the Bible that You've given us. And Lord, for the truths that You've conveyed to my heart and what I feel in my soul tonight. I want to thank You for Calvary. What a friend tonight we have in Jesus. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I pray that You'll speak to our hearts tonight from this Scripture and encourage us in our fellowship with Thee. And help us tonight, Lord, to see greater truth concerning God's rich love for us. Wherewith, Lord, You loved us, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm so thankful tonight for that truth. Bless now and give liberty to preach, and I pray for that fresh anointing of God, Lord, that is needed to preach the Bible. It's a spiritual book, and I need spiritual help in order to preach it. I pray that You'll come upon me in great power, and that Your presence would fill this building tonight with glory. And God, that our hearts would rejoice in what Christ has done for us and the great love that You have for us on our behalf. Help us in these next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You now, and you may be seated. I believe it's about 17 minutes delayed, and I'll try to hurry through this if God will help me. And try to give you what I feel like the Lord has laid on our heart. I preached a week ago, Sunday morning, out of verse number 1, where He said, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon. I believe the Bible said that Solomon wrote some 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. But of those 1,005 songs, the Song of Solomon was the Song of Songs. It was written in the superlative degree. There are no greater, Never has been, ever will be, a greater love story written than what we find in the Song of Solomon. And then in verse number 2, he says, "Let him kiss me," or that is, the bride says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." There is nothing vulgar intended there. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. That is the bride speaking. And in the Bible, our Lord is referred to as the groom, and we that are saved in this dispensation as his bride. And there's nothing there vulgar that is intended. But the bride did say, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." And if God will help me tonight, I want to preach a little while on the thought, kisses sweeter than wine. I believe that's what Solomon is referring to here, is that the kisses of our Lord are sweeter than wine. I'll try to define in just a few minutes what the Bible means when it's referring to the kisses of the Lord. But whatever they refer to, they are sweeter than wine. They are more to be desired than wine, my friend. Now, the Song of Solomon is a song of love, and it is between Christ and the church. It is the church singing sweet melodies unto the Lord, and the Lord singing sweet melodies unto his bride. If you please, it is an intimate relationship between the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse number 1, we have the title to the psalm there, which is the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Song, and then just a brief introduction into the book. And then in verse number 2, I see something there that seems to me now, I'm not a Bible scholar, not much of one, but I see something there that seems to be just a little unusual and improper. And somebody said, "Brother Hall, what do you mean it's unusual?" In verse number 2, the bride begins to speak to the groom. That is, the lady, the church, begins to speak unto her bride, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a boy growing up, it was a little bit improper for a young lady to make the first advance toward a young man. It was always proper for that young man to first approach a young lady about courtship. And it was his responsibility to approach her about marriage and about her hand in marriage. And by the way, it was his responsibility to approach mommy and daddy on her side about having her hand in marriage. Don't none of you men in here ever let your daughter marry some lazy, sorry scoundrel of a devil who's not got enough backbone about him to first come to your house and sit down and talk to you about taking that little girl of yours in holy matrimony. Don't you even let him, my friend, sit beside her in church until he first approaches you about it. I'm telling you, we've got things found up in our day today. Most young ladies have got the fluttering eyes and the flopping lips, and most of them want to make improper advances toward the man. And that's what it seems to be like here in the Song of Solomon. And this drainage, y'all just have to bear with me. I'm going to preach it if it kills me. Amen, you too. But here in the Song of Solomon, that's what appears to be very unusual to me. Because the bride speaks before the groom does. But I got to thinking about that, and I thought about the groom being the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord first loved us that we might love Him in return. Is that not right? Our Lord loved us and we love Him in return. Now, what I'm trying to get at is this. that our Lord did make the first advance toward you and I who are His bride. And so He did so here in the Scripture. Somebody said, Brother Hall, but I don't see it in the Word of God. No, I don't see it there either. But I tell you what, my friend. Man, you pray for me. This drainage is killing me. But what I do know is that the Lord made the first advance toward you and I. And although He did not speak audibly where the world could hear Him, but He did speak to you and I in the secret chambers of our heart. And just because it's not recorded there does not mean that the Lord did not speak first. I'm so glad tonight that He loved me and made it possible, my friend, for me to love Him in return. He did nothing improper, and the bride here is doing nothing improper as Him speaking to the Lord and desiring the kisses of His mouth. She is simply responding to the love that has been shed abroad in her heart by the gift of the Holy Ghost that dwells there. I want to say it is just a normal response. My friend, if God has ever spoken sweet peace to your soul, amen. If He has ever spoken to you in the secret chambers of your heart and conveyed to you just how much He loved you with an undying love, with an unequaled love, with a love that will span eternity, there is nothing wrong for you returning that love in a vocal way and letting those around you realize that you love God because God first loved you and made it possible for you to love Him in return. Amen. Now you pray for me. I got enough of this saliva in my throat. Amen. I have to strangle most men to death, but I'm not going to give up, I'll tell you that. In most romances, it is the groom who takes the first initiative to discover his love to the bride. But here, she speaks first. And the reason, like I've already said, is that Christ has already spoken to the secret chambers of her heart. And being a spouse to Him, it behooves her here to show her affection and her regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what one of the problems is, church, in our churches today. We just do not regard His love enough to show that love back to Him that Christ has loved us with. When she said, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, for your kisses are sweeter than wine, she was simply saying, my friend, that I am in love with the Lord. And because He has loved me, that I want to respond to that love that He has shown unto me. How in heaven's name can Baptist people go through all of their life without ever responding to the love of the Lord Jesus that He has shed abroad in their hearts when He discovered His wonderful, glorious, and gracious love unto their soul? Amen. Hallelujah. Being a spouse to Him, it becomes here or behooves her to show an affectionate regard unto Him. Now we may, now stay with me now. We may understand the term kisses of His mouth to mean the gracious words that flow from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those gracious words that just simply flow from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say to you tonight that every time you pick up a copy of the King James Bible and begin to read the Word of God, our Lord is kissing you with the kisses of His mouth. For it is the gracious words that flows from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been penned down by holy men of old and written down in a Bible and preserved for you and I today in the King James 1611 Bible. people. And I'm glad to thank God this morning when I got out of the bed and picked up my Bible and sat down in a chair and turned to Jeremiah chapter number 31, that the Lord Almighty began to kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. Amen. When I began to read about the captivity of Jerusalem and Judah, my heart sank low. But I tell you, I read one more chapter and read where He will return again the captivity of that nation and bring them back into their homeland, and He can restore all things unto Himself. And He kissed me with a great big kiss from His lips. Amen to God. I'm simply saying the Bible, the Word of God, is the kisses of that flow from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ to you and I. Now, bear with me and stay here just a minute now. I want to say also that these kisses, these words that flow from His mouth, they're not the words of the law. Although the Song of Solomon is an Old Testament book, but these words are not the words of the law. For the words of the law are sharp. They are severe. They are words of rebuke. They are words that are a schoolmaster to us to bring us unto Christ. And although Solomon was writing in the Old Testament days, he's not writing, my friend, concerning the law. But he's writing concerning the sweet doctrines of grace. Amen to God. These kisses are not words of the law, but they flow from the tender, compassionate lips of a loving God. He's not talking about the law, but He's talking about the doctrines of grace that He's writing about. I'm telling you, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I tell you, friend, there was no sweeter of a kiss planted upon the spiritual lips of old Brother Hall than 29 years ago on yesterday at 10 minutes after the hour of 12 o'clock on the third stanza of Just As I Am, without one plea but that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. And the Lord Jesus, my friend, laid a big grace kiss upon my lips and let me know, my friend, that although I ought to be in hell, that He loved me enough to die for me and gave me a tender, compassionate kiss of grace and let me know, although I was condemned, that the Lord loved me enough, amen, to come and die upon Calvary's tree, that I might be lifted out of the depths of sin and be a child of God for eternity. Amen. Amen. Ain't none of y'all mad at me tonight, are you? Y'all ain't afraid I'm leaving you tomorrow, are you? Something bothering somebody. It's not the words of the sharp, severe rebukes or works of the law, but it's the tender, compassionate doctrines of grace that the kisses of His mouth represent. And Solomon said that these tender, compassionate doctrines of grace are sweeter, they're more precious than wine, that His love is more precious than wine. Now, I'm not getting into them tonight. I will not preach. If I preached them all, we'd be here a month. But I'm talking about the doctrines of justification. I'm talking about the doctrines of sanctification. Oh, yes. And whether our Armenian friends like it or not, I'm talking about the doctrine of election. Oh, yes. The doctrine of election stands sure in the mind of Almighty God. And I don't preach much about election because I'm not grounded that well in exactly how to preach it. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, had God not have loved me and set His affection upon me, I'd spend eternity in hell. and I was not looking for God. In fact, I did not want God, and there was nothing in me and nothing in you that warranted God's love. He just loved you because He loved you and set His affection upon you and came to where you were and saved you by His wonderful, marvelous, matchless, eternal, loving, tender, magnificent, glorious, amen, abundant grace of God. That's right, ain't it? That's right. Them doctrines of grace. Son, justification, sanctification, glorification. I'll tell you, do everybody well to read Romans 8:28. You would find out you already glorified in the economy of God. I'm not waiting to be glorified. I am glorified. And that's right, in the mind of God. Somebody said, well, what if it don't come about? Who's big enough to hinder it from coming about? Who can stop the will of God? You're looking at a preacher that believes, my friend, in the sovereignty of God. That is, God does what He wills and wills what He does when He wants to and where He wants to and doesn't ask you or me any question about it. Amen. I'm trying to preach. These are the doctrines of grace. Now, these doctrines of grace must commence with the gospel of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's right. And so these kisses that are sweeter than wine must commence, my friend, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you listen to what I'm getting ready to read you. These kisses carry in them intimations of His love to souls, to whom they came in power and in the Holy Ghost. For I want to say to you, my friend, that the love of Christ is the primary and major theme of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. For God loved you and I and allowed His Son to voluntarily lay His life down out of a heart of love, that we as sinners, condemned and unclean, might be saved and enjoy eternity in the very presence of Almighty God. I'm telling you, the love of the Lord Jesus is the theme of the gospel tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. And these kisses, He said, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for thy love is better than wine. What are these kisses? They're intimations of His love. And they commence with the gospel. Then pray tell me, what are they? What can they be likened to? If they're likened to the doctrines of grace, if they're likened to justification, sanctification, glorification, the doctrine of election, then pray tell me, my friend, what can we liken them to if they're intimations of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ toward you and I? I want to say these kisses, my friend, are tokens of His reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. And you and I, as sinners, were separated from God. Amen. Enemies in our mind. Alienated from the covenants of grace. Lost and undone. But I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus kissed me with a kiss of reconciliation. And while I was yet a sinner, He reconciled me back unto Almighty God. Amen. And made me a friend of God rather than an enemy of God with the kiss of His reconciliation. Amen. I want to say, secondly, these kisses are not only tokens of reconciliation, but these kisses are evidences of His relationship. Huh? Ain't not everybody kisses everybody. That's right. Don't you go kissing on my wife. Son, it's war. Huh? You see, relatives kiss relatives. A kiss is an evidence or a sign or a symbol or a token of a relationship. Amen. And you hear me well. Our Lord Christ stands in and fills up all relationships to His people. Amen. And has affections for them suitable to every one of them. In other words, every relationship there is on earth, our Lord Jesus stands in and fills up that relationship toward you and I that have been reconciled to Him by the kisses of His grace when He reconciled us through the cross that we might become a child of Almighty God. He kisses us because we are a child of Almighty God. Amen. Now, don't nobody leave me now. Amen. That's right. What kind of a love? What kind of a relationship? I'm glad that He is to us like a kind father. Amen. That's right. There is not another kiss in this world, on this earth, like the kiss of a kind father toward one of His loving children. Hallelujah to God. Man gets up and leaves for work in the mornings, and that little son or daughter standing by the door telling Daddy goodbye, and Daddy bends down and with a tender, compassionate, loving heart kisses that little child on the forehead or on the brow, and that little child is proud to say, "That is my Daddy. I'm glad that my father loves me." Well, I want to say to you every now and then, my friend, as a tender, compassionate father, amen, He can love me as His son, and He can kiss me with the kisses of His mouth like a father would kiss his son in whom is all His delight. And may I say, in you and I is all His delight. He delights in us today as being His dear child. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I wish there's a little more spirit in here that could get a hold of that. I believe it would help us. Evidences of His relationship. You know that Christ can fill every kind of a relationship with His love that is upon this earth. He can be a father to you. That's why the Scripture says, when your father and mother forsake you, then the Lord will take you up. Oh, what a kiss. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. And I went to pick up Brother Ricky last night. And we went to Central City to that meeting. And I stood, and as we left, I watched that little old boy here just about throw a fit. Well, he did throw a fit. A crying and hollering for his daddy. I couldn't understand what he was saying, but Brother Ricky could. He said, "Oh, Luke," he said, "I'll be back after a while." He said, "Don't be a crying or something like that. I'll be back after a while." I'm going to tell you what, friend. That little old boy realized that he had a daddy that was in love with him. Oh, yes. And all he was crying for was one of them kisses from the sweet, tender, compassionate lips that his father had for him. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, the bride ought to respond to the love of God. Amen. And cry out for him to kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. For I am thy son, Abba. Father, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. And let me know how much you really love my soul tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Then I want to say, not only he can, as a relationship of a father and a son, but he can kiss you with the kisses of his lips, or with the kiss as a tender husband. Huh? Now, and I'm not trying to be both, but I'm telling you, my friend, that that's the kind of love that the Lord Jesus has for you tonight. Just like a tender-hearted man will love his wife. I don't mind telling you, I make eyes at this hall every chance I get. Amen. I see something back there in that little old room tonight of working on them school places. And I made about 25 trips back there during the afternoon. The last time I walked up there and leaned up against the door and looked in, kind of knocked on the door. This hole looked and kind of winked at me. That wink like knocked me down. I shut the crack in the door and said, "You know why I love her?" Amen. And our Lord can love you tonight as a husband would love his bride. And we ought to desire as his bride in the holy communion place those tender, compassionate kisses that he bestows upon us as a loving husband would bestow upon the bride. Amen. Of his youth. Hallelujah to God. Then I want to say, thirdly, he can kiss you with the kisses of his mouth as an affectionate brother. We are brothers in Christ, are we not? But I'm talking about a fleshly brother. And my brothers have not always been that close, real close. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Every now and then, we have been known to kind of lay our head over on one another's shoulder and weep for one another. And there ain't nothing wrong with earthly brothers are kind of giving a little kiss on the cheek of their brother to let them know that they love them as a brother. While I was sitting at Brother Ricky's last night, I noticed some of the pictures, and I made a comment to Miss Kelly about the pictures, and she said, "Would you like to see Sharp?" I said, "Well, I reckon who's Sharp?" She said, "Ricky." I said, "What do you mean Sharp?" And he said, "Oh," said, "when I was in school," said, "they called me Sharpshooter, and then it just got to be Sharp, you know." So I took up the picture album and opened it, and there was old Sharp. But it seemed like every time I seen Sharp, old Brother Cool was there. I'm talking about John Calvin Jr. back there. And he had that whiskers on his face. That was back when he was like John. Had them round glasses a-setting on his nose across it. Yeah. Oh, and Sharp back there was in white. And every time you'd see him, he had a hold of them tucks with that right hand and was all, you know, I mean, talking about strutting and stuff. Every time you'd see Sharp in white, you'd see old Cool in black. And I thought, how wonderful that is. There's two brothers. I'm talking about only brothers, as far as I know, in the same family. There was one of them getting married, and there was the other being his best man. And I said unto my soul, that's how it ought to be. Son, there ought to be a little affection and a little love in the hearts and the lives of brothers. But I'm telling you tonight that I've got a big brother, amen to God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as an affectionate brother, every now and then, he'll kiss me with the kisses of his mouth and let me know that I've got a big brother yonder in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Then I want to say that there are times when those people that are close friends may give a little kiss to one another. Not all the time, but occasionally. I've got some friends that I count dear to me, and you see it mostly in women than you do in men. They seem to be a little more tender and easygoing. You know, men like to shake hands. They're not wild about slobbering over one another. But I'll never forget in 1989 in our Jubilee. No, it was in our radio marathon in October of 89. And old Brother Paul Manus was here and preached that marathon. And Paul's kind of a fleshly-like fella, you know. And he preached on the last service on the night. I don't know whether it was a Sunday night, or I believe it was a Sunday night, and he was going to leave. And I was back on, right through the doorway where the water fountain's at. And Brother Paul come back through there, and I said, "Brother Paul," I said, "I got a check here for you." And he said, "Brother Hall, I appreciate that." And I handed him a check and stuck out my right hand, and he did likewise. And when he grabbed my right hand in his right hand, he's a big man now. Wow. Brother Paul give a big jerk and pulled me in a little tight. And the next thing I knew, I felt them great big lips of his, a lip locked on my right jaw. And I thought, unto God, what's this guy doing? And he backed up and he said, "Brother Hall, the Bible says to greet one another with a holy kiss. And he said, I just wanted to greet you as an affectionate brother with a holy kiss and let you know that I love you in the Lord. I'm telling you tonight that our Lord, my friend, has kisses sweeter than wine. As an affectionate brother, he loves you and I as a brother and will stick closer than a brother on this earth will to you and I tonight. Bless his wonderful name. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I want to say that those kisses are tokens of reconciliation. They're evidences of his relationship. But a kiss is also an expression of romance. Kiss me, the bride said. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. And they are kisses of romance. That's why I said a little while ago that it seemed unusual that the bride would speak, and the first words out of her mouth in the Song of Solomon would be to kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. For thy love is sweeter than wine. And I thought that to be a little unusual. But I'm going to tell you, I got to thinking about that, and it occurred to me that Christ had already kissed her with the kiss of his mouth from Calvary as a kind, compassionate God that loved her and gave himself for her. And it was proper for her to desire another kiss from him. And by the way, my text says kisses. She done got one kiss. She wanted more of them. Hallelujah to God. I'll say a little bit about that in a minute. And so they are expressions of romance. I got to thinking about how we romance. They don't do it much anymore, I'll tell you. What they mostly do anymore is lust instead of romance. And they, instead of having expressions of romance, it's expressions of lust. It's the back seat of an automobile. Or the seat of a drive, the back seat of an automobile in a drive-in theater down at the motion picture house. And they call that romance. That ain't romance, that's whoremongering. That's fornication. But a kiss is an expression of romance. And I got to thinking about things that are natural that we do for romance. Miss Hall and I, 2 years ago, was up at Brother Willie Walton's. And he said, give us an afternoon off. That's unusual for Brother Willie. And he said, there's a boardwalk down there. Got an old lighthouse on it. And he said, if you want to, said, y'all could go down and visit the lighthouse and walk around the boardwalk and look at the bay and look out at the ocean. And I thought, well, that wouldn't be bad. And we got down there and got to walking on that boardwalk, and the sun began to go down in the evening. And I tell you, boy, it had a big red sun ball, and the romance fire began to burn in old Brother Hall, and all we was doing was a walking. And I'm glad, thank God, that as we walk with the Lord in the cool of the morning or in the sunset of the evening, that he can kiss us with the kisses of his mouth. Amen to God. And express his love with the romance of the kisses of his mouth to you and I. Amen. We walk with him. And he expresses his love toward us as we walk hand in hand through this life. Now, I didn't kiss Sister Hall out in public. We just walked down that boardwalk, and she put her arm. There's old folks down there, young folks down there, and every now and then they'd take a piece of bread and throw it out, and them old ducks that's on that water swim up and eat that bread and stuff. And them old men, I could see some of them, see a couple of them, old man and woman, sitting on a little old bench, and their little old arms entwined, you know, one another. And I thought, Lord, look at them old folks are romancing. Hey, we can romance when the Lord walks with us. I'm telling you, oh yes. Oh yes, and then there's expression of romance. I got to thinking about how he takes us out to dinner. I'll never forget Miss Hall, the first time I ever bought her anything much by surprise. We lived in Tucson, and it come our anniversary. And she didn't have any idea I was going to do anything, but I got reservations in a Chinese restaurant, and we got to that restaurant that night, and they put us back in a little old thing, had a top raised up over the top of us, and we was kind of enclosed where we was alone. And I felt like there was a nobody around but her and I, and we got done eating her meal. She thought I wasn't going to get her a thing for our anniversary. I think it was our anniversary, wasn't it, babe? And so I pulled out a little old box and slid it over there and said, "Happy anniversary, Mrs. Hall." Well, she did. She probably thought it's out of a bubble gum machine or something like that, you know. And she opened that lip first thing, big tears started running down her cheeks, you know. And she began to cry and couldn't hardly look up at me, you know. And it kind of touched her heart. And I give her that opal. She's been wearing it, won't take it off. She showers in it, sleeps in it, wouldn't take it off because it was the first real intimation of my love toward her in a real way. Amen to God. But it all come about sitting at the dinner table. Now I'm telling you, the Lord will romance you and I. But while we sit down at His table and dine with Him and He with us, I'm talking about in the holy place, in the secret place, in the secret chambers of His palace, where you and I spend time alone with the Lord. Hallelujah to God. But you know what? We can walk with Him and He'll romance us. We can dine with Him and He'll romance us, and that's all good. But there's nothing. Let's just put it this way. But the kisses of His mouth and the romance that way brings much more nearness to it and much more intimacy to it. That way He gets closer. Why, you can walk with somebody down the boardwalk and be 25 feet from them. Like that day at night at that China Garden in Tucson, Arizona. I was romancing Miss Hall. She was on one side of the table and I was on the other side of the table. But oh, I'm going to tell you, friend, you got to get closer than 10 feet to get a big kiss. And you got to get closer than across a dining table. Amen to God, to get a big kiss. What are you saying? I'm saying the kisses of His mouth as are expressions of His romance. And they are the closest kind, the most intimate kind. You can get no closer than the person you love than when you put a big lip lock on them and let them know how much you love them. That's close, friend. I just wonder if we really want to be that close tonight. If we're willing to let Him draw that close to us tonight, that He might kiss us with the kisses of His mouth. And then I want to say this, that the kisses of His mouth, His kisses, elevates our love. There's nothing that will elevate your love, any more than a kiss from the person that you love or the person that loves you. I'm going to tell you what. It makes my old heart tingle just a little bit. Like back there a while ago when I looked around that door in this hallway. I said, whew. My old heart just fluttered. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, that done something for me, buddy. But I can be sitting in my chair drinking my iced tea in the evening and eating my Pringles. Miss Hall can ease up to that chair and bend over that chair and say, oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? Now that wink stimulated my love and I felt like winking back. But when she kisses, it makes me want to kiss back. Oh, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that the kisses of His mouth, my friend, when He makes intimate love to you and I, or to elevate our love for Him and create a warmth within our heart that would have a desire to love Him back. It ain't no wonder she said, "Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth." I don't want to be satisfied with one, but I want another and another and another of your kisses until we arrive in sweet communion in eternity together. Hallelujah to God. Not just one kiss. More than one. Now look here. Everybody listen to me now. What she's saying is that when you kissed me the first time, you discovered your love to me. But the kisses of your mouth, she said, please discover your love to me or make your love known to me again and again and again and again and again. over and over and over. Now look here. Somebody said, "Now, Brother Hall, what? Can you break it?" I believe I can break it down. Oh, I'm telling you. I don't know why it is like it is tonight after Sunday morning. It amazes me. I think really, I'm just being honest with y'all. I think some of y'all come in here in the back of your mind, you think Brother Hall's getting ready to leave you. And I've tried the best of my will to convey to you I ain't going nowhere. And I think some of you come in here tonight mulling rubbish because I'm leaving tomorrow and you've got an idea that I'm leaving to go and take another church somewhere. That's exactly what I think you see. I think that's exactly what the problem is tonight in the church house. But I'm telling you that I did not order Sunday morning. He did not have to pass by like he did Sunday morning. But if you've got head sense, you know that Sunday morning, Jesus passed by and kissed Island Ford Baptist Church with one of the kisses of his mouth. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've got any spirituality about you at all, you would want him to come by again tonight and do it all over again. Hallelujah to God. Amen to God. But one kiss deserves another. And I tell you, the more you get, the more you'll want. Soulless me. Time again until our love is consummated at the marriage supper and we sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in eternity in our place of love together. I want to say that his kisses will warm a cold heart. How many of you men? How many of y'all, by the way, how many of y'all ever had a little spat with mama? Or how many of y'all ever had a little spat with sweetie pie, ladies? And you got just a little rift, tiff, whatever the word is. And you know your old heart, your little old heart just got a little old cold. And you're like Jeremiah about the Word of God. You said, "I'm not going to speak in His name no more." And what you said was, "I'm going to show Him a thing or two. He'll know the next time, bless God, He gets any of my sugar." About 6 o'clock, you come in off the job, took a shower and sat down at the supper table, and you sat there like that. Dished out that food, and you prayed and tried to pray. Graced your food and got up and sat down in the living room, and you grabbed your old Bible and he grabbed his. Not a word stirring. Then just a little while, he got up out of that big recliner chair and he'd go over where he's at and said, "Now, sweetheart, what happened, honey? You know I love you." Just reached down and just one little old kiss. That old heart was beginning to melt. Oh, I'm telling you, folks. So cold-hearted, we ought to desire kiss from the kisses in his mouth. For his kiss is like a warm fire to our cold soul that will melt our cold heart and bring us back into a place of fellowship with the Lord that loved us and died for us on Calvary. Bless his wonderful name. That's right. It'll melt the cold heart. It'll elevate our love and melt that cold heart. I want to say, it'll quicken our love just a little when it's dull. Amen. That love can get dull every now and then. Now, look here. Now, listen to me. You can get busy doing everything under the sun. Huh? And your affection for one another will suffer greatly. I know what I'm talking about. And friend, you can get so busy that your affection for the Lord will suffer greatly. Now I'm gonna turn this off just for a minute.